passage. All right, well, I'll start with a short story. One day, a young boy, Johnny, he was kneeling beside his bed with mom and grandma on either side. They're kneeling there and they're saying bedtime prayers, okay? And Johnny was speaking softly. He says the sort of things that little boys say in their bedtime prayers. He said, "Dear God, please bless mommy and daddy, bless grandma and the family, and please give me a good night's sleep." And he's going on, and suddenly he looks up and he shouts. He says, "And please don't forget to give me a bicycle for my birthday." And Johnny's mom turns to him. He says, "You don't need to shout, dear. God isn't deaf." And he says, "No, but grandmother is." Well, another day, Johnny had been misbehaving. He was sent to his room. After a while, he came back out. He told his mother, he says, "I thought it over. I thought it over, and I said a prayer." And his mom says, "That's wonderful," his mother said. "If you pray to God and you ask him to help you not misbehave, he will help you do that." And Johnny said, "Oh, no, I didn't ask God to help me behave. I asked him to help you put up with me." So we're talking about prayer, right? And we know that we need prayer. This week, last week, we're talking about the Lord's Prayer, in fact, and how this Lord's Prayer shapes our own lives of prayer, the way that we live, the way we act, the way we pray to God, and what it means for us. And as humans, we know that we're created to live in relationship with the God who created us. We talked about that last week, and God just doesn't want any old relationship. He wants us to know him as our loving Father in heaven. So we have this need for prayer. We have this need to connect with something beyond us, beyond ourselves. God created us with a need to connect with something beyond this world, and so this need for prayer is actually kind of baked into us as humans. It's there, and we need to pray. We need to have that relationship with God our Father, with something beyond ourselves. And if you look around the world, it's true. You can see people praying no matter who they are, no matter where they're at, no matter what they might believe. People actually recognize on some level they need prayer. If you look around the world, different societies and cultures, people pray. Even though many people don't know who God is, which is sad because of the corruption of sin in this world, because and many people don't know Jesus, there is still a part of us that reaches beyond ourselves and reaches out towards God in prayer. And last week, as we began talking about prayer, we talked about how God desires a relationship with us. He invites us to call us invites us to call him, excuse me, our Father in heaven, because God wants us to know him as our heavenly Father, our loving Father in heaven. And we asked, we talked about prayer blocks too last week, right? We said that there's some things in our lives that keep us from praying. And I don't know what that is for you. Maybe you feel like you don't have time to pray. Maybe you feel like God doesn't really hear you, like these prayers don't make a difference. Maybe you feel like you can't focus, and you just can't focus on what you want to say when you pray. Whatever that prayer block is. And if you were there, I hope you remember what we said. The way through those prayer blocks is, it's kind of counterintuitive, but it's to just pray. And not to pray about the things that we feel like we need to say when we pray, but just tell God about that. You can tell God, "I have a hard time today. I feel like I don't have time to pray for you, but I'm going to try. Or Lord, I cannot focus, and so I'm sorry about what's going to come next, but I want to spend time with you, and please help me focus as I pray," or whatever that is. And so let me ask, have you tried that? Have you tried talking to God about those prayer blocks in your life this week, today, last Sunday maybe? I hope that you have, because as we're spending this Lenten season, we're talking about prayer. My hope is that we will all be blessed in that area of our lives of faith. I hope that this Lenten season, you will make an effort to pray and to grow in your life of faith, in your prayer life. But we recognize that just like Johnny, as we're praying, Johnny, who asked for a bicycle extra loud, or who asked God to help him get away with what he's doing rather than asking God to help him live the way he should, it's easy for us to make a prayer into something that just serves our needs, right? It's easy for us to try to make prayer into something that just is about our own desires. If prayer is meant to be an avenue for a relationship, it's a way for us to connect with our Father in heaven who loves us, often we don't pray that way. Often we pray as if God is just there to be kind of a provider of spiritual goods and services. He's just there to meet our needs. And so if we want to learn how to pray rightly, which we do, then we should take our cues from Jesus ourselves. We said last week the way that we learn to pray is just by doing it. We just start trying and we learn to pray as we do it. And then if we want to learn to pray rightly, we want to learn to pray in the way that Jesus prayed and the way that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. That's what the disciples did. That's what we saw in our scripture reading, right, at the very beginning. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray," just as John taught his disciples. That's John the Baptist. He said to them, when you pray, say, "Father, hallowed be your name." And that's what we're focusing on today. So we know there's more of the prayer there, but that's where we're going to stop. Last week, we talked about what it means for us to address God as our Father. And today, as we learn from Jesus how to pray, we're learning what it means to hallow our Father's name. Now, I want you to think for a moment. When was the last time that you used the word hallow? Last Sunday, maybe? Probably. When was the last time that you used the word hallow outside of church? Ever? Maybe? Perhaps? Maybe. Maybe you pray that Lord's Prayer at home or another time. That's great if you do. But I think I can honestly say I have never said the word hallowed outside of either reciting the Lord's Prayer or talking about the Lord's Prayer, because that's part of my job, is to teach people what the word hallow means, because it's part of the Lord's Prayer. We just don't talk that way, and so we might think that hallow is like a special word. It's a church word that we only use in certain times and places. But when Jesus taught his disciples to pray, that word hallow was not an uncommon word. It was kind of a day-to-day word, an everyday speech, and it didn't mean anything complicated or overly spiritual. What that word means is just to set something aside, to set something aside as special. So think about this. For example, if you have a special keepsake at home or memories of your family, maybe you have treasured pictures or keepsakes from a special time in your life, maybe a wedding day, a child's birth, or an old home that you lived in for many years and you loved it. When you have these sorts of keepsakes, you set those things aside as special. You treat them rightly. You don't treat them carelessly. If maybe it's your grandmother's dishes, right? And you take those out on special occasions. You take out the nice dishes or the silverware. You treat it special. You give them special respect and honor that ordinary items don't get. And so when we pray, we're meant to hallow God and his name. And so it's okay to use that word hallow. Let's just understand what it means when we say it. When we say hallowed be your name, we're asking God to help us live and pray rightly. When we say hallowed be your name, we're asking God to help us honor him with our prayers and also with our lives. So we're asking God to help us recognize who he is as the creator of the universe, all that we see and touch. Help us recognize who God is as being beyond our very comprehension. He holds the whole world in his hands, and we just don't get that, how he can be so big and powerful. When we hallow God and we hallow his name, what we're doing is we are submitting ourselves to who God is, rather than trying to project our own expectations on him. And we do that sometimes. In our prayers, we try to project our own expectations on who God is and who we think he should be. We do this especially when we pray. You know, it's pretty common for us to pray this way. It's pretty common for us to pray kind of as if we're walking up to the menu at a fast food restaurant. And we say, you know what, I'll have one of these and one of these and one of those, Lord, please. We say we're tired, so let's pray about that. And I really need some encouragement this week, so let's pray about that. And I may be sick, or we've got a problem, so let's see what God can do about it. And if we make our order, we take what we get, and we go back to life as usual. This is often kind of the way that we pray. And let me be clear that God does care about all those things. God does care about all of your needs of your everyday life. If you're tired, if you're discouraged, if you have any sort of problem, God does care about that, and he invites you to share those things with him, to talk to him as your loving father who does care about all those things. So it's good to share those with God, but what we need to be aware of is more of our attitude. Our attitude. Are we treating God like he's a cosmic vending machine, waiting there patiently until we decide it's time to go to him, to go get something from him? Are we putting God inside a box so that we can just get the things we want from him without ever letting him put some sort of demand upon our lives too? Are we putting ourselves at the center of the universe so that we feel like God revolves around us? This is not what it means to hallow God and his name. This is not what it means to treat him special, to make him holy. This is not developing a trusting relationship with our Father in heaven. So then what does it mean for us to truly hallow God and his name, to make his name holy? What does it mean to proclaim God's holiness through our prayers and our lives as well? Well, we're going to talk about that. I would say we do that in three ways. The first is that we proclaim God's holiness in our prayers and in our lives when we recognize who God is. The second thing is that we proclaim God's holiness in our lives and in our prayers when we not just recognize who God is, but we rejoice in that. We adore him for who he is. And then third, we proclaim God's holiness when we then thank God for the things that he has done and the things that he will do, the things he has promised to do. So to hallow God, first, is to recognize who God is and who we are in relationship. One of the biblical images that's used to drive this point home is in Jeremiah chapter 18, and it's the image of the potter and the clay. And in that chapter, we could go and we could read that the people, God's people, are kind of like a clay pot, and there is the potter sitting there patiently sculpting the pot, shaping it, forming it, and every now and then the pot kind of messes itself up as the clay does something weird, and then the potter patiently takes the same clay and reshapes it and reforms it. And so God is like that potter. He's beyond us. It's like he is the artist and we are the work of art. He is shaping us. And that means that he can see our lives. He can see into us and he can see around us. He can see what's going on in a way that we just simply cannot. Often in our lives today, I think we like to think that we're in control of our lives. We like to think that we can somehow control our lives if we just work hard enough, if we just figure out the right plan. We like to think that maybe this is coming up soon for some of us. We like to think that we can control college acceptance letters if we just do all the right extracurriculars, if we just do all the right studying and get high enough grades. We like to think that we can control our careers, right? If we work hard enough, if we put in those extra hours, everything will go the way we want it. We like to think that we can control people, right? The person, the time, the place, the right kind of person we'll meet, the person we'll choose to be a spouse. We like to think that we can control our families if we can just figure out that perfect method of discipline or relationship or what to do within our families. We're tempted to think that we can take the place of the potter in our lives today. And this is what we do. Whenever we tell God how our lives are supposed to go, we're trying to take the place of the potter. But when we pray to God, hallowed be your name, what we're doing is we admit that God is in control. We admit that he's the one who shapes our lives. To hallow God in his name means that we treat God differently from everything else in our lives because he is different. He is better and greater than anything else we know, anything else in the world, anything else in our lives. And so we treat God differently. We don't rush through our time with God. We like to slow down in worship and prayer, and we can take time to wonder at who he is, at what he's doing in the world. We can wonder at the mysteries of his grace and his loving nature, and we entrust our lives to him. So to hallow God, really, it means that we ask God to help us make him the center of our lives, rather than asking God to make us the center of his life. That's kind of the difference when we recognize who God is. And now God is always there for us, right? We can pray at any time, and we should. We should pray continually. And so it's not that we can't pray quickly. It's not that we can't pray while you're rushing from home to work or back. It's not that you can't pray while you're at school or between classes or sports or in our lives between meetings and jobs and things like that. God hears and answers those prayers too, but we can also slow down. We can set aside time to reflect on who God is. Set aside time for prayer. Set aside time for worship. Set aside time to see God for who he is, as being holy, as being different than us, set apart and special and glorious. And so we recognize who God is. That's part of hallowing God and his name. But we don't just recognize who God is, because that's not quite enough. Not quite enough. We adore God for being who he is. James, in the book of James, he says this. He says, you know what? You believe there's one God. That's good. But even the demons believe that and shudder. So just admitting who God is not enough. We also adore God for who he is. Many of the Psalms are great examples of adoring God for who he is, for loving who he is. And I could show you examples all day, but just one good example is from Psalm 34. It says, I will extol the Lord at all times. That means I'll say good things about him all the time. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And so this is one reason, by the way, that we sing praise songs during worship. Because these songs, they teach us more than what to say about God. They actually teach us how to feel about God. These songs teach us to adore God for who he is. They help us to rejoice in the fact that God is the potter and we are the clay. Psalm 48:1 reads that great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. And praying these words can help us to pray to hallow God, to keep his name holy. You can also think about God's greatness, what makes him great, right? His wisdom, his love, his patience, his holiness, his power, and his majesty, and his glory. This is what we do in worship every Sunday. This is why worship is so important, by the way, that we may be singing the same songs that we sing week after week, or many times we've sung before. And for some of us, it may sometimes feel like a waste of time, like we've got so many other things to do in our lives, and we just don't have time for this. But in singing these songs, in reading scripture, in meditating upon God's glory, we are actually seeing God rightly, right here. And so we adore God for who he is. We recognize, and more than that, we adore God for who he is. And so finally, the third way, we hallow God. We keep his name holy and by thanking him. By thanking him both for the things he has done and for the things that he will do. Because we know that the promises of God are good. In a world where we try to control everything, we can be tempted to think that we are the source of the life that we have, as if we screw things up, then we've lost everything. Or if we can do everything really great, then we can make our lives better than they are. But in truth, God is the source of the life we have. And the most important thing that God has ever done for you and for me is to purchase our salvation. Our salvation is a gift of God, as Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 2. Or as we love to quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son, Jesus, to die for you and for me. Truly, God is the source of our life here and now. And God is also the source of our eternal life with Jesus. God has done great things for you and me. He has saved you and me through the cross. And he has given us this church where we share the love of God with each other. He has given us the gifts of the Holy Spirit that we might be empowered to share God's peace with one another and with our community. And so God has given us so many things. He's given us one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. God has given us this building that we sit in right now and that we use to worship. We use to have fellowship with one another and we use to pursue ministry. God has given us gifts of speaking and gifts of serving and gifts of making music and praise. God has given us gifts of compassion for those who are hurting and in need. God has given us gifts of love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and faithfulness and self-control. Think about the last week. How has God been working around you? Many times we don't ask ourselves this question because it's sometimes hard to see. Many times God comes in hidden ways that we can only see if we ask God to show us through his Spirit. But how have you been encouraged by someone else this week? How have you been challenged to grow in your life of faith and faithfulness? In what ways have you seen victory? God is at work all around us, and we'll grow in our ability to see God's work around us as we give thanks to him in all things. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 instructs us to say, in everything give thanks, it says. And we learn to pray to God our Father as we give thanks, as we cultivate a heart of gratitude. Theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer once wrote this, and I think it's true. He says, only he who gives thanks for little things receives the big things. We prevent God from giving us the great spiritual gifts that he has in store for us because we don't give thanks for daily gifts. And so as we give thanks, we're able to see God in a different light. We're able to see his work in a different way. And as we give thanks, we grow in faith, and our prayers will become bigger as we give thanks for the small things that God does for us every day. you know, we can also give thanks for the things that God will do too, because God's promises are always good. As we continue in this series on prayer, we'll also be talking about asking God to be here among us, to work among us, to bring us his kingdom. The Apostle Paul instructs us to present our requests to God with thanksgiving. And so as we take new steps as a church to be the kind of church that God wants us to be, as we're always doing, we give thanks for God, for what God will do in us and through us and in our community. And so we do, and we will ask God to work in the hearts of those who don't know him, our friends and our family who don't know him, and we know that he will work in their hearts, and so we can give thanks for that. We ask God to be present in the upcoming outreach and service events that we do this year, as we pray in our community, as we serve the people around us, as we talk about who we are and who God has made us to be, as we share our stories, as we talk about our Lord Jesus. And so we can give thanks that God will be present there. And we can also ask God to raise up new leaders in our congregation and our community, and we are doing that, and so let's give thanks for how God will empower and call people to serve among us and in our community, empower people to lead. And so let's give thanks. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, help us to hallow your name. We give you thanks today for all of the things you do, all of the things you have done, and all of the things you will do. We give you thanks, Lord, that we know that your word does not come back empty, that when we talk about Jesus, that word always does some work in the hearts of those who hear it. And so we give you thanks that you will work in the hearts of our neighbors, our friends, and our families this year. And we give you thanks, Lord, that you are present among us even now, and you will be with us as we go into our community to serve, to love, and to share the good news of Jesus. We give you thanks that you are with us and that you give us strength and courage. You empower us to do the good works you want us to do. And we thank you, Lord, also for all those who serve and all those who will serve, those whom you will raise up to lead here in Southwest and across our community. Lord, we give you thanks for all that you do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.